I enjoy that. I mean, speaking of other spy movies, I think, gosh, I don't know if I've seen any other spy. I always want to say I like spy movies and I like movies about like CIA and stuff, but I often find that they're actually pretty slow. The Matt Damon one that just came out that was sort of semi based on a
The
true
Good
story, The Good
Shepherd,
Shepherd,
yeah.
was kind of slow. There was a couple neat parts. I watched the first two parts of this mini series about the CIA that was like on TNT or something. It had like Chris O'Donnell or someone weird like that in it, and it was all right. It had Michael Keaton in it too.
There's these British mostly made for TV movies by based on books by Jean Le Carré. They're fantastic. One of them is called Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Have you heard of
Yes,
that?
there's a
Yes.
series.
He did a whole series.
No, a television
Yes,
series
exactly. And they did different
with
actors.
Alec Guinness,
Yes,
I
Alec
think.
Guinness did most of them. And they did different actors as they went along. Those were wonderful. And they were very bureaucratic. They were very bureaucratic. And there was a series with Michael Caine that
Yes,
was the
there was
same.
the Ipcress
Ipcress
Files.
Files, yes.
I'd like to
And
check those out
they're all
sometime.
very interesting. The thing is, if you get used to the James Bond sort of thing, they come across as boring, but they're always very interesting. And Hitchcock did a couple of fantastic spy things, mostly to do with like the Iron Curtain.
Well,
One
I
of them
mean,
was called Iron
there
Curtain, I
was
think.
North by Northwest was sort of a spy
That was
story
definitely a spy
eventually.
one,
It was like very James Bond, if
one
you
of them
really
is
think about it.
not the James Connery, not the Sean Connery one, Marnie or whatever it's called,
Yeah, that one was
but
just kind of
there's one
weird.
maybe called Iron Curtain or something like that. And he did a couple of actual spy ones set. The best thing about spy movies is that. Or what I was going to say is that the best spy movies, and I think this is about the James Bond ones too, have a very European feel to them. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
that's the main thing I love about GoldenEye, or the reason why I hold him in such high esteem is
Because of
because
the Russia
it
thing.
stays mainly in a completely European setting, and I love it. I love
I
everything
think
about
I agree
that.
with you. I think the ones I find the least enjoyable are the ones where,
They go off to Japan and junk like that.
well,
It's just not as exciting.
I don't necessarily mind some of that. I think it's mainly just once they get into the States, it's kind of like it defeats the purpose of it being
Yeah.
Bond, you
I know.
know?
Yeah, that's like, what's the point?
Yeah,
This
it's
could
like,
be a
well,
Die Hard film.
you're in Vegas for half this movie. That seems kind of dumb. I mean, like, Diamonds Are Forever, they're
It's
in
it is
Vegas.
interesting to see the way that
The fish out of water aspect, I
it's not
think.
just fish out of water. It's that the it's the British colonialist
Yeah.
visiting various countries that
Yeah.
the British
Have affected.
conquered at certain
Remember
points.
Felix in the
Oh
new one
yeah.
when he's like, yeah, that's funny coming from a Brit.
And then like if you just think about Octopussy and even like You Only Live Twice and stuff like that, like it's going to places where the British have had like a complete foothold in places, and it's almost like then when you see him beat up whatever the native person is, it's like they're reaffirming the
The
British
British.
superiority over these people that
The
they have
sun
conquered at
will
some
never
point.
set.
You know?
Never,
Yeah.
never.
And you know that's not anything that's ever going through Bond's mind because he doesn't care. But
No.
it's like
Well, it
reinforcing
could
that
be. You never
stereotype. Who
know.
knows? Yeah, maybe he's a
It's
huge
not. I
racist.
mean, I'm sure Nicole will have a great review of this
Oh my
Bond stuff.
gosh.
But like, then there's a couple of Redford did a couple spy movies. He did the Condor one, and he recently did that one with Brad Pitt, which I actually watched. And I didn't really care for it that much. I thought it was kind of. I forget what it was called. I've tried to always watch good spy movies, though. Didn't Gene Hackman do a spy movie at some point? Or there was some movie I want to remember where it had him. Maybe it's The French Connection 2 or something that he's in Europe. I don't know.
They go to Europe in the French Connection too. That's not definitely not spyish. I mean, those are schlubby Chicago
I
cops
know. I'm
who,
trying to think of
or New York, whatever they're supposed to
Yeah,
be.
New York. I'm trying to think of what I'm thinking of where he was kind of. It seemed like there was something kind
I don't
of
know. I mean,
with
he's been in a
Russia.
bunch of spyish type things, but they're mostly. I mean, well, I think one of
Yeah.
the best movies ever made was The Conversation, and that was pretty
Oh,
spyish.
yeah, that's true. I guess it's really a good
And
spy
then he was
movie.
in, and then he played kind of the same character in Enemy of the State, which
Yeah.
is interesting. It's an interesting
I
movie. I
haven't
enjoy
seen
it.
that, but I should check it out. I think the
But
big
Tony
thing.
Scott's best movies are always with Gene Hackman, I think. I really like
Red Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide. Yeah, that's
I've
really
never
that's a
seen that
fun
either.
one.
I
It's
should check
fun.
that one out.
Pretty standard, but it's fun.
But I think, yeah, because when you get to the basic themes, usually there's, like you said, there's a certain degree of action necessary, but there's always a sort of paranoia and trust and, like, who can you trust? And, like, The Conversation is a great example of a movie that's not a spy movie, but it essentially feels like it
Oh
because
yeah.
it's a, there's an
There's more
organization,
paranoia in
there's
that film than any
paranoia.
other kind than
Oh,
one I've ever
yeah,
seen. They
definitely.
ring horror. I mean, that was Coppola at the top of his game. He rings horror out of places that no horror should be.
Yeah.
You feel this guy's life is completely overcome and he's drowned by anxiety at all times because of his mental state, which is due to just I guess the job he does or whatever like that. But even at the very end of the film where he's just sitting there playing his saxophone or whatever it is in the room, like. he's destroyed the place he lives in because he's so paranoid that someone's listening to him, even after this whole thing has happened. And it's just,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. There's something about that that's just fantastic.
It's all very, and then I mean, I don't know how to relate that paranoia to these new kind of crappy hacker movies that have come out. What was that one with Diane Lane and
Chris and I watched that recently? Yeah, Untraceable.
Yeah, where it's like so what? Dumb.
The dumbest thing was that.
Or Eagle Eye, which you said is pretty dumb.
Eagle Eye is fun, because it almost feels like his nose is retarded, okay. Which it doesn't, but it feels like that. Untraceable is dumb, because two-thirds of the way in, they suddenly just show you who the killer is, and then for the last third of the movie, you're like...
Just waiting for them to figure out how to catch him.
No, then he's there with them, like, for a great portion of it.
Oh.
And I mean, once they show him, but they never showed him once before that, and suddenly they're like, hey, here's the killer. Uh-huh. And then he starts interacting with people, and you're like... It's not the sort of thing where you, like, know the whole movie. Yeah. Like, hey, that's the killer.
And look, you're out. Seeing
it's not, it's not like The Departed or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it was just, yeah.
I mean, I think they're missing a beat with some of that stuff, with the technology they get into it. And that's just a relevant thing for society is, like, basically you just have to figure that a lot of your anonymity has gone out the window now. I mean, you know, you order something off the internet or you just, you know, you're going to check a website or whatever and it's like, you know... Stuff is known, right. You know, the eye is watching. In big cities, they got those cameras and all kinds of stuff. It's like, well, so it goes, you know. I just got to figure I'm not that important, I don't care. And I almost, every now and again, I'll sit and I'll think, you know, if I get bored, you know. Or borked, I guess, is the term. It's
borked.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think the great thing about the Bond series now is this. You can't take anything relevant or important out of any of the first, let's say, 15 films, but it's built into this fun, meaningless thing that now, when you reboot it, you can take important themes out of it because you've already built this monster that has turned into its own media and everything event that comes out every couple of years in November, middle of November, when it always comes out. It's this big world-changing event. Everyone starts talking about the old ones and stuff, and you can start to look back and see like things we've been talking about colonialism and about various things that were not ever meant to be put in there on purpose.
Yeah.
Ian Fleming might have meant to do that with his writing, but it never comes out in the films because they're always supposed to be fun, dumb.
Well, have you read any of the books?
I have read...
I haven't read any of them.
I've read a couple of them.
I watched a biography about him.
They're hard to read because they're very...
Are they Clancy-like? Or they get real technical?
They're
very
racist, sexist, like extremely. Like this dude was an elitist British person. He really was. And that's worse than an elitist American person, because an elitist American person at least has the good sense to not pronounce their superiority over other races and sexes.
No, not always.
It's implied.
Yeah.
But the British person just goes out and is like, you know what? Jamaicans are retarded monkeys. You know, stuff like that. You know, that's basically the kind of things that Ian... He introduced this, you know, this character that was supposed to discover things like that. But then you go into the films, and they're just basically dumb, fun, big, explosive, exhibitionist, escapist type of things about a world that no one had ever really like looked at before.
I think,
and now you can take these out of these new ones. There's important thing like this character has become this larger than life mythological character. And now you can introduce what makes him tick and stuff like that, and it becomes important. Because if you introduce that right off the bat, who knows? Maybe people look at Casino Royale and say, oh, it was an interesting film. If there was no James Bond before that, you'd say, that was a pretty good movie. You know, it was interesting. But it's like introducing the Bourne series.
Okay.
The first one, I still feel like if there had only been just the one Bourne, the Bourne Identity, you'd be like, oh, that was kind of an interesting movie. Almost by default, they made it a trilogy. And they're probably going to make a fourth.
Well, I think because the guy wrote more, yeah.
All right, but I mean, he only wrote up to three, and the first one made a decent amount of money and stuff like that. But
I don't. I
think they're trying to make the same series now to the stuff, and maybe after they make 20 of these, it'll be the same thing. But they introduced him with the initial character. Who am I? All this big questions.
They did the amnesia cop-out.
They never had to do that stuff with Bond because it was always just a big, exciting, fun thing about the story.
Yeah.
Now you can go back and see what makes him tick. From the beginning, when you show what makes a guy tick, it becomes less interesting throughout the time. That's why the Bourne stuff is just not as good as James Bond, which is light fare. It's fun, light fare.
I think the reason, part of the reason the Bourne stuff is not quite as good is because Yeah, I don't know. I feel like anything you're going to discover, it's very tired, and it kind of, it doesn't really know what it's trying to say. You know, it's like, okay, it's like, how about we give this guy superhuman skills? Like, he's been trained to be a badass, but he's got amnesia. And it's like, oh, great, that's not, like, soap opera cliche number right. two, you know? It's tired and whatever.
It's the future
you, thing. You give it, yeah, you're fine with it.
Calculon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You're fine with it for the first one. It's a mystery for him to discover what's going on, who he is. He talks about, like, his own anxieties about it. He's like, look, I can tell you that, you know, the best place to find a gun is in the, you know, cabin right. of that truck that's outside right there. You know, these, I don't even know how I know these things. And then, but they do, I mean, they kind of give you some closure in the first one with Chris Cooper being sort of like, yeah. You were head of Black, you were an agent in Black Ops, you've kind of gone rogue, and I guess that's when we need to get rid of you. But then at a certain
then
point,
it keeps it expanding gets, to yeah, more yeah, and more yeah. rogue people.
Yeah, it's who, Brian Cox, and yeah. then it's Brian Cox doppelganger Albert Finney in Ultimatum.
He's pretty much Brian Cox.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and they gave him injections, and it becomes and that's some kind of Nazi thing.
It's fine to explore what happens to a character. That's what's happening to Bond now in this new reboot. But it's the type of thing where less is more. The less you explain at any point, the more mysterious and interesting it is. You don't yeah. have to tell motivations right away. You imply them.
But I think my biggest problem...
The amnesia thing is so base because you're feeding this... You're feeding the audience this guy's motivation. I don't know who I am. I guess yeah. I better find out.
Yeah, exactly.
And then people want that drives him through all the things. And it's too simple and easy.
Basic survival.
The Bond thing, if anyone loves Bond movies that much, they're going to start thinking, what drives this guy? Why is he the way he is? And now they're starting to just let it bleed into the picture. They're yeah. not forcing it down your throat. At no point did they ever say this guy has some sort of will to win, and he's got some sort, or he's got some sort of pathology, or whatever it is. You know, the only thing they've given him now is this revenge motivation. They've kind of cleaned it up. So in the future ones, what's going to drive him again? It becomes more mysterious again. You know, like when you get to the end of the Bourne thing, he finds out who he is, and he. Gets away from the whole deal. What is there left to do?
About it that seems so stupid to me about the third one, I think I gave the second one more of a pass because I mean they kind of started it off. They came after him again, and yeah. something, you know, his girlfriend got shot, and he was kind of at peace. And then, but the third one, and then but at the end of the second one, he gets a sense of who he is, and he's kind of like, look, don't come after me, I'm done, whatever. Right. And then the third one, he has this convoluted thing where someone sort of set him up, and there's more than one kind of agency. You don't really clear on who's coming after him. Another thing is it's tough to root for the American with amnesia being hunted by the Americans who are just paranoid, right. and it's like are the bureaucrats.
That's the thing,
or what,
is that,
you know?
What's common in most things now is that you kind of have to make America the bad guy and everything.
A little bit,
and
yeah.
it becomes very.
And they
trying.
Did that. They did that. They did that in Casino, or not in Casino Royale, but they did that in this one. To a degree, where they just gave that total like jackass CIA guy that was Felix's boss, and
Felix doesn't quite agree with his.
Felix just kind of hates this guy the whole time, and it makes sense. But you know that sort of works too. You know, if we just played with everybody that was nice, then we wouldn't be playing with anybody, right?
People don't give George W. Bush enough credit because he's an extremely cruel jokester, and I think that should hold him in higher esteem to most people. Upon meeting Ted Kennedy for one of the first times after he'd been elected, There was some huge big staff meeting, and there was senators and stuff there. And Kennedy came in late, and he said, "Hey, how's it going there, Chappie? Take a seat." And people were like, "Oh," and stuff like that. Like, who'd have the balls to call Ted Kennedy Chappie?
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. That's really good. I understand Bush is probably stupid and all this stuff. It doesn't matter. He called Ted Kennedy Chappie.
I don't know if you can be stupid and be that mean.
That makes him top 10 to me.
Yeah, I think it might.